No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to, Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle, learning to fly, and learning to talk. My voice still isn't back after my open heart surgery. You'd think the throat, the voice, wouldn't be so difficult. It has nothing to do with the heart. But in my case, obviously, I speak from the heart.
Wow.
Yeah. How's that for some BS? Anyway, Dennis
is
with
us. There's some things that never change.
True. Yep, I haven't lost my sense of humor. And anyway, Dennis is with us. Dennis, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg.
Okay. So, I kind of count as half a crew member. But with Dennis, Tom Haynes from AOPA is hopefully going to join us here before the show's out. We'll have a full crew of people, and that'll compensate for my lack of being able to communicate clearly. Well, I guess it's clear. It's just I sound kind of froggy, don't I?
Yeah, you still do.
Sound weird, I will. I don't know. A little Kermit kind of thing, a little Yoda mixed in there. It's kind of weird. Anyway, I'll make do, and we'll see what's going on. But enough about me. We talked about me last week and my road to wait a minute. Hold on. This is a
we
show
talk about you every week.
Yeah, and everybody seems to keep talking about me. So let's just kick off with some viewer mail, right?
All right, why not?
You know,
why
all
not?
The,
let's do it.
All the love I got last week, you know, I'm recovering from open heart surgery. And, you know, if you're just hearing of this for the first time, you go back and listen to last week's show, catch up with the rest of the class. All right, so here's Larry writes us an email. Says, Greg, just a question. I started my training a year after beginning to listen to Just Plane Radio. I punched my ticket last year. Now I'm about to finish building my Zenith 601. Plus, I have 4 kids and 2 jobs. I don't think you have a good excuse not to punch your ticket. Remember, excuses are like butts. Everyone has one and they all stink. Have a good day and get back in the area. Well, okay.
You can't read the last part.
Well, thanks for the sympathy, Larry.
Hey,
I don't think you heard last week's
told,
show.
We told you where that's at, right?
What do you mean? What?
Sympathy. Where is it listed in the dictionary?
I don't remember what happened
it's
yesterday.
It's between that one word you won't let
I think
us say
it was somewhere before syphilis.
That's correct.
Okay, right. I was going to look.
That comes from our good friend Tom Schultz, who may rest in peace. He just passed away here a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, well.
He would never give anybody sympathy because that's where it would lie.
Yeah, well, I thought open heart surgery was the ultimate excuse to delay my private pilot training and certificate.
And what did Larry say?
He said, no, they're like butts. Everyone has one or something. I might have misquoted him. Anyway, that's my excuse I'm going with for at least one.
I think Larry might be right.
What? What do you mean? There is no excuse. There's no excuse?
Because you should have had it done a long time ago.
Well, that's true, but, you know, I didn't see this one coming. I didn't plan this one. As brilliant of an excuse
that's
as it is.
That's why you should never put things off, because you can't predict the future.
True. You never know what could happen tomorrow.
You should just dig in and go.
Okay. Well,
would you agree, Austin?
Yeah, Austin is with us, Dennis's son, who is ready to... I don't know, provide additional sympathy to me, I believe. Am I right, Austin? No?
Sure.
Okay. That didn't sound very convincing. All right. So, Austin is Dennis's son, and he has some news I don't know, Dennis, why don't you set this up first, I guess, right? Shouldn't you?
Well, I think we threw a gauntlet down here
a year ago when Austin soloed.
Oh, I don't remember any gauntlets.
You don't remember that? No.
No.
I'm pretty sure that Keith and Ed wouldn't take the bet either. They knew that there was no chance.
I think I was drinking at the time or something.
Yeah. So we were wondering who was going to get their private ticket first, whether it was going to be Austin or Greg.
Well, I bet on Austin, and I was in the bet.
Well, and he's definitely in the lead. He is halfway through his private pilot check ride right now.
Okay, he's only halfway through.
His check ride or his...
His check ride. He got the oral complete yesterday, but due to weather, they had to defer for the flying portion until next week.
Mm-hmm. And what was the excuse to delay?
Weather.
Wind. Very, very high wind. Okay. I wasn't comfortable with 25-knot gusts.
What? What are you, a wuss or something, Austin? Come on. Now, see if that would have been me. I mean, you know, if open heart surgery wasn't holding me back, I'd be like, oh, not a problem.
Well, if it was only a 25 knot gust, that'd be fine. But it was 15 gusting 25. And that's pretty healthy wind for for any pilot.
Yeah. No, you're supposed to call it. You're supposed to call it. That's a good
aeronautical decision making right there.
Absolutely. Yes.
And that's what I told him. You would tell him, too.
What do you mean?
That is good aeronautical decision making. That was knowing your limits and sticking to them despite the pressure of a check ride or the pressure of your passengers wanting to get somewhere.
Well,
were not comfortable.
That's what I say. That's what you say. That's what Keith would say. What did the examiner say? Did he say the same thing?
He agreed with me.
He agreed.
I had a printed off weather report thing from Flight Plan, and I was going over it, and I noticed that winds right now, they were low, but they were forecasted to be even higher. And I saw that with the windsock. And Des Moines was already gusting to 25, and it was supposed to get even higher. So I was just like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. Well, good move, Austin. You know, I can't get over the fact that I sound like a 17-year-old kid going through puberty, and Austin sounds like he's about 50. What the hell's going on with us today? What is wrong with
this? Well, you know, it's funny. His teachers have been saying for a number of years that you need to get a job in radio.
Yeah.
With that voice.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
I might have a gig for you.
Yeah, there you go.
You can take over for a week or two. Let my voice recover there, Austin.
You can take over for me, Austin. How's that?
Well, no, you and Austin will have to do it. You guys kind of sound like the same, you know.
All right, so Austin, from now on, it's you and me.
You're supposed to work in kind of lines, though, Austin, like, hey, baby. You know, I kind of do a whole kind of Barry White kind of thing.
How you doing?
Yeah.
So who gets to fight for Abington's affections now?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll let you guys fight it out.
I would say I'll let Austin take over just because he's a lot younger. So I never really got her affections because I was too old.
Ah, is that what it was? Okay. It had nothing to do with, well, I won't even go there.
She liked the voice. That's all she liked.
Yeah. Yeah,
but see,
yeah.
See, now Austin's
yeah.
got more to offer.
You think?
Well, yeah.
He's not even a pilot yet.
Yeah, but he's.
Neither are you.
Well, true.
Ooh, quick.
He's got some to offer.
He's young brains. There's still hope for tomorrow's youth. God bless him. All right. Well, anyway, it sounds like you made good mood. So you reset for when? When do you get to go make a new attempt?
He said next week because he was going to call me this weekend because his schedule's always like super busy and changing. So he was going to call me this weekend and set up a date for sometime next week, but still don't know when.
All right. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. Did you feel like you were ready to do this if you would have flown that, hey, no problem? You didn't have any issues or maneuvers that you're like, okay, this one's going to give me fits, but what? What do you think?
I was more worried about like the oral portion of the test than the flight portion. The only part of the flight portion that I was kind of concerned with was short and soft field landings. Somehow I always get those mixed up, but everything else I've felt comfortable with.
Short and soft. So you get them mixed up. Why?
The thing that mixes me up
it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to demonstrate it, it's all scenario based. So the short field, you're coming over an obstacle into a very short field, but the soft field, it's all mucky, but it's not exactly short. What I always think of is when it's a soft field, oh, it's a grass, it's a short grass strip. So it's just the mental image that I got that kept messing me up. But
short and soft and don't necessarily go together.
They could combine them together.
They could.
That is very true.
Yeah, they could give you a scenario where you have a short.
Well, that would really screw them up then, wouldn't it?
Throw everything at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, how do you approach them differently there, Keith? What do you think? What are you going to do?
You approach it the same.
Oh, so it doesn't really matter.
You have to do a soft field landing. You just got to be really accurate with it because your airspeed's got to be right on because you can't float. And you have to the slight different technique because on a grass strip, if you're landing on a grass strip, you don't want to just pull the flaps up and jump on the brakes.
Yeah.
Because you bring the nose wheel down and maybe tear it off. So you let the friction of the grass slow you down.
Okay, that makes sense. And we got more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was the youngest pilot in Pan Am history. When I was 4, the pilot let me ride in the cockpit and fly the plane with him. And I was 4, and I was great. And I would have landed it, but my dad wanted us to go back to our seats.
Airplanes!
This is Just Plain Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. I am Greg, your co-pilot, believe it or not. Still recovering from open heart surgery. And evidently voice surgery is what I am going to need next. You think there, Keith?
Well, let's hope not.
It's getting worse. I don't know what's up with that. I'm going to have to turn up the...
You just got to stop talking until we do the show, and then
all right,
you can talk.
You want to just take the controls?
I'll take the controls.
Take the controls, and let's talk to Dennis. And now we're joined by Tom Haynes from AOPA as well. Tom, welcome. How are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. Great to hear from you, particularly you, Greg.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here.
Nice to have you back on board.
Yeah. Well, you know, I speak from the heart, and I had some work done on that. And evidently, you know, the speaking part hadn't caught up yet.
You know Speaky so well now.
Yes,
huh?
Well, at least for the time being, it is getting a little better, you know, day to day. But you know, here I am back in the airplane, and maybe it's all that dry air that's rushing by me that's giving me fits.
I don't know. You're sucking on those cough drops back right there.
Well, I'm trying. I'm trying. But, hey.
Not, you know. It's not the hot air, then.
Yeah, no, no, no way. Are you kidding me? Come on. I only speak, you know, the truth. Yeah, anyway, it is good to hear your voice, Tom. And, you know, we've talked off the air, and he sent some good vibes my way. I appreciate it. It's all good. And, you know, I'm working my way back in the cockpit. I got to wait about 6 months, I guess. That's what they're telling me.
At least.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see. What do you mean, at least? More optimistic than that,
Keith. It's 6 months before you can apply.
Right. So I got a six-month excuse to hold off on my private violin.
As Larry's read, as you read from Larry at the beginning of the show, that is not an excuse.
Well, okay, it's well.
The training can continue, right?
Yes,
the training
can
continue. Okay,
he's got 6 months now that he can work on that written that he's been putting off. Yep. He's got nothing else to get in his way.
Oh, I'll probably have that done by next week.
And it, wow.
Whoa, wait a minute. Anybody taking wagers on that?
Now put your feet up, folks. Getting kind of deep.
You heard him, right?
Yeah.
Tom, you heard him. Dennis, you heard him.
Yeah, it's all on the record now.
You know, I can always attempt to do it in a week. I didn't say
come
I would
on,
pass.
Listeners. Let's give him everybody his cell number, and all the listeners can stall in and reminding him, or quizzing him.
No, yes. No, that won't
how about happen. We have Austin take it for you?
That'd be good, Austin. I mean, what do you think, Austin? Do I have a good excuse, at least for time being? You would back me up on this.
No. No.
Thanks for the support, you little rat bastard. Anyway.
You think a teenager that's beating you is going to give you support? Come on.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? So anyway, Austin, let's just change gears here, change direction, and help Austin in the meantime, because I'm beyond help. Okay, so he got delayed on his flight test, and he had some concerns about the short and soft field landings. Keith, you gave him a couple tips. Austin, did that do the trick for you? Do you think that's all you need to know, or what?
What do you think? I mean, it's definitely helpful, but it's just the thing that is affecting me with those is just the scenario. I get the scenarios mixed up.
Okay.
Hey, man, I'm there.
It is definitely helpful to hear.
What would you tell me to do, Tom?
I completely understand. Well, let me just example on a check ride I had. I mixed up. I mean, I combined the short field and the soft field into one maneuver and really screwed up. And that it was supposed to be, let me get this straight, it was supposed to be a soft field. And so I did the soft field procedure at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then, it was supposed to be a soft field. And then I pitched over shortly after thereafter like it was a short field. And so I kind of combined the two and really, really screwed up anyhow.
Well, no, if you combine the two, that's like knocking two birds with one stone.
But you can only do that if the examiner says we're going to combine the two.
Oh.
If he doesn't say that, you know, if he says we're going to do a soft field landing, you've got to do a soft field landing. You can't just automatically say, hey, we're going to get a two for one here.
Yeah, well, he's like, hey, you said this, but I think you meant this. Am I not correct?
Again, yeah, did I not hear that correctly?
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't help.
Yeah.
That doesn't help.
But man, I feel your pain, Austin. I've been there, and so it's easy to do. It's easy to mix those scenarios up or combine them in my case.
Well, what happened in your case, Tom? So when you did that, did he say, well, hold on, or did he say, okay, no, you screwed it up and let you know once you landed, or what? What happened?
No. Well, that was part of a discontinuance, actually. There were two things that led to it, and so that wasn't the only one. So anyway, we went back the next day and nailed it, and that was that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see. So if you screw up or get confused, Austin, you just go back and try again. Simple as that. That kind of puts your mind at ease a little bit, doesn't it? No.
Yeah, that's helpful. You don't have to redo the entire test again.
Yeah.
Yep. So. That's correct.
As long as you do it within two calendar months.
Okay. Well,
might be a problem for Greg.
Yeah, I knew he was going to work something in there eventually. But Keith, tell me though, as a flight instructor, what would you tell these guys? How do they keep that stuff straight in their heads like this?
Well,
make it right.
you know, if somebody's really kind of mixing it up, there's really not a whole lot you can do except for work through the scenarios one by one.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is, on a check ride, you've got a whole lot of pressure that you put on yourself. And mm-hmm. you have to try and keep that clear focus and just say, all right, one more time, tell me, what are we doing here? You know, are we doing this? And just kind of repeat it to them and go through the process. Speak it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you say the procedure out loud, sometimes that'll help you, and sometimes it'll help catch if you're going to make a mistake.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what my instructor was telling me, you know. Walk through everything that you're doing when you're doing all those like procedures for the different types of landings and stuff, because mm-hmm. it shows the examiner what you're thinking in your head, and it also helps you keep everything straight. So
yeah,
and, Keith, you're right. It is a lot of the students put a lot of pressure on themselves for these things, and you have to remind yourself there is no hurry. I'm going to talk through this, say it out loud, and take as much time as you need to get mentally prepared before each of the maneuvers that are being asked of you, and take as much time as you need to, because the instructor's not getting paid by the hour in this case. Yeah, or the exactly. examiner, I mean.
Right.
Nope. And the students have to remember, too, that examiner is not there to bust them. You are considered a pilot. Your flight instructor has signed off and has put his certificate on the line saying you are competent and capable of carrying out the responsibilities. And until you prove that examiner wrong, he's still evaluating you as a pilot. He's not trying to find a reason to fail you.
That's a good point, because that is the way it should be done. However, not all examiners state that at the beginning of the ride. And I think it should be stated.
Okay.
You are a pilot until you prove it wrong.
The examiner is your friend.
Should be.
Look at him. Well, he should be. But then again, if he doesn't pass you, then I hate him.
Well, you have to get there first, Greg.
Yeah, it's just never going to end.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. Also, Dennis and his son, Austin. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes. Now, I got to give a little shout-out to Dennis because, you know, last week we were talking about what happened to me. I had this open-heart surgery. It knocked me out a little bit. Obviously, the voice is still recovering. But as much as Dennis likes to bust my balls about not getting my flight certificate, and that even though I get a pretty good excuse now, he does kind of follow my lead. Because I went into the surgery, you know, there's some pictures on Facebook of me giving the thumbs up to the camera, and they posted those pictures on Facebook. I was totally looped out and on some kind of painkiller that is totally, I don't know what it was, but I was seeing like pink elephants and everything. And lo and behold, the next day, Dennis does the same damn thing. He posts up a picture of him in a hospital bed with his thumbs up just like me, emulating yours truly. And I felt honored, Dennis. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, I think I sent you the picture.
Yeah. Twins. Yeah, you sent me the picture, and what happened? What?
I said, look, we're twins.
Oh, yeah, we're twins, exactly. And I thought, it was like, wow, he went to a lot of effort to
imitate
replicate
you.
This picture. And
you're my hero, Greg.
I was like, now that is a true friend and somewhat of a stalker type fan. However,
that's taking stalking.
I found out, actually, you ended up having some surgery too, though, right, Dennis?
Yes, I did. I actually had a gallbladder removed a week ago Friday, and hopefully I'll be back in the air tomorrow morning.
Okay. All right. So you're back on the road to recovery. Well, not that big a deal, but
no,
it gave you the opportunity to get the picture for Facebook, make me feel better, right? And I appreciate it. I appreciate the effort.
It's all about you, Greg.
Well, sometimes I wish it wasn't. But, I do appreciate the support, Dennis, and I'm glad to hear you're on the mend and you're here with us today. All right? Fair enough. I wanted to get that off the table, at least, a little thanks. Our team of flight folks, our aviation family here, we look out for each other, believe it or not, despite all the ball busting I tend to receive. Just goes with the territory.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If you build an airplane and people are afraid of anything that flies, you can't just take the wings off of it, because at that point, all you're left with is a really slow, super expensive bus. We built an airplane, we gotta fly it.
Airplane, airplane, don't you go down today, take me away, off to a better place, you know, just where I'd like to go, please get me there real soon, I've been things that I must do.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith, Dennis's son, Austin, also from AOPA. We have Tom Haynes. So, Tom, let's find out what you've been up to. I know there's been some AOPA fly-ins. As last weekend, where were you?
Yeah, we were up in Bremerton, Washington, just outside of Seattle last weekend for a real barn burner of a fly-in. In fact, it was the largest one we've had. It was the 14th of the regional fly-ins we've done over the last three summers. And this one, we set records for both attendance at over 4,000 people.
Wow.
And for airplanes that have flown in, which 690 airplanes flew in, so almost 700 airplanes. Those are both records by a fair margin.
Very nice. Now, what do you think?
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, what do you think it is? Just the area of the country, or just they're getting that much more popular, or what do you think?
Well, we had great weather. It was just like a perfect Saturday and Friday night for a barnstormers party on the 19th and flying on the 20th. And it was just great weather. Actually, it was hot for the Northwest. When we were planning flying in the Northwest, all the weather concerns we had, none of them had anything to do with it being too hot, I can tell you that. Mm. But it was pretty warm. But regardless, really great day to just be out flying. So I think that was part of it. The community up there really embraced us and really wanted us there, so they did a lot of promotion and publicity themselves. That helped drive traffic. And then, we're just getting better at them. We're better at the promotion and letting pilots know. And so pilots just turned out in droves. So it was really a lot of fun. Really, yeah. Really good show.
Now, what does it mean to have a barnstormer party? On Saturday, what are you guys, like square dancing in the barn or something? What's going on exactly?
Well, barnstormer is an old aviation term for back in the golden era age of aviation back in the 20s, when pilots would go from community to community, landing in hayfields next to barns, and they'd hop rides. They'd give rides to people. And of course, aviation was a real novelty in those days, and they got to be known as barnstorming flights. And so we've kind of adapted that term for our Friday night party. Ahead of the fly-in on Saturday is called a barnstormers party. We have a band and usually barbecue and a great party. We had almost 800 people at our barnstormers party on Friday night. Hmm. We had a band, a U2 cover band outside with a B-25 in the background as a backdrop for the band. It was a really cool evening.
Sweet.
Tom, how do you plan for that? I mean, how do you plan to have enough food? Because, you never know if you're going to have 50 people show up or 800 people show up.
But we do have an RSVP process on our website where we ask people to come in and tell us if they're coming. And, of course, for the ticketed events like the dinner, people have to buy tickets, and they get a discount for RSVP and buying tickets ahead of time online. We also sell them on-site until we run out, which we didn't quite run out for this one. But fortunately, we have great caterers who are pretty flexible and have the ability to work with us up to the last minute on numbers for these catered events. So we managed to have enough food. We did have a situation last year once where we actually ran out of food, which was kind of embarrassing. Mm. But we do pretty well, actually. Our events team does a great job of estimating, based on RSVPs, how many people we're actually going to have show up. So it works out pretty well.
Yeah, and it's barbecue, too. So it's like, hey, Keith's coming. All right, bring another pig. so they prepare. They're learning.
Do you think some of the field trips helped increase the numbers too. I mean, you guys were offering that you were going to an aircraft carrier and also to the Boeing tour. I mean, that seemed to be unique to the other I haven't seen that other fly-ins.
Yeah, you're right. That was a new wrinkle for us. We had great cooperation with Boeing. Steve Taylor is their chief pilot. He is an AOPA member and a big fan. And so he arranged for a special VIP tour for 100 folks to come up to Payne Field, just north of Seattle, on Friday and go to a special VIP Boeing tour. Then we took a group of 77, I think it was, folks, out to the USS Stennis, which is happened to be in port in Bremerton. They got a tour of the aircraft carrier, lunch, and a briefing by George Perry, who heads up our Air Safety Institute. He's a former naval aviator, flew fighters. So he talked about life on a carrier. And so it was a really neat experience for those people, and that helped drive some Friday traffic. And then camping. We had great facilities for camping. We had 170 people almost camping Friday night, and many of them stayed over into Saturday night as well, so that helped drive attendance.
Nice. Now you had a band. You said did you say it was a U2 cover band?
I did.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So that was really fun. And then you throw in the backdrop of B-25. It's just hard to beat that for a venue.
Sweet. All right. So that was last week, and everyone's going, golly, I wish I would. How could have I missed that? That was a great opportunity.
It's not too late.
So, yeah, what do you got on the docket? What's coming up?
Yeah, so we got two more of you this year. Battle Creek, Michigan's coming up September 17th. The fly-in to 17th, got a Barnstormers party on the 16th. And Prescott, Arizona, on the 30th of September is the Barnstormers. October 1 is the actual fly-in. So come out to those. We've got an air show accompanying us at Prescott with some top name airshow pilots, and also at Battle Creek. We've got a local pilot up there doing some airshow work for us as well. So great entertainment at both of those events.
What do you think, Dennis? You and Austin ought to hop in that 172 and make one of those, you think?
Actually, I was seriously considering taking the Cardinal and hopping across Lake Michigan.
Yeah, Battle Creek would be a good one for you.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's a reasonable flight for us.
Yeah. Is U2 playing there, or the U2 cover band?
No, we got a different band to that one. I'm not sure who it is, but I know it's not the same band.
Mm. Well, if you ever get down to Florida, I got the band for you.
Oh, yeah? Who?
Uh-huh.
Who is it, Keith?
Well, we're not going to give that away yet.
You can't sit there and do that.
Oh, yeah, we can.
Blues Brothers tribute band, maybe?
No.
Oh, there you go.
That could be fun, though.
Well, hey, stand by, because we're going to be announcing the 2017 locations in about probably 2 months. So stand by in that Florida thing. Not to give anything away, but
All right.
could be hearing from us.
Might be calling Keith and finding out. You're going to pull in a favor, one of your musician friends, you think?
I could make that arrangement.
You know, Keith knows people. He does. Like a Culture Club, all those 80s rock bands. Keith has an in.
Keith and Boy George, right? I can see it now.
Yeah, yeah. You can see that, can't you?
Boys to Men. Yeah, I don't know. So you got that one.
Not the Village People?
You should have seen him. He just lit up. He was like, oh, man, don't shh. Yeah.
YMCA.
Hey, you know what?
Why am I here?
We got five people right here on the show. We could do that. No one would know any difference. Just put on a record and, I'm going to be the cop. He's going to be the engine. Indian, I think.
Can I be the construction worker?
Yeah, okay.
I want the hard hat.
What are records?
What are records?
Have we not turned his mic off yet? Oh, boy. Anyway, so, all right. Well, those sound like great events. Anything going out? Are you doing any personal flying yourself to these things, Tom? Or what have you been up to in that regard?
Yeah, I'm going up to. Well, I'll be flying to Battle Creek in the Bonanza, so I'll be loading up with gear and folks here from AOPA, and we'll head up there. So
what about the corporate jet? Corporate jet thing. I know you were training to fly that thing, right? Have you been doing any more of that?
I may have gotten to the West Coast via an airplane like that. Yes,
got to fly in,
and actually, I got a landing in South Dakota because I've been, I've been to all 50 states personally, and I've flown general aviation airplane in 47 states. Until last week when we were going up to Bremerton, I landed in Aberdeen, South Dakota. So that was my 48th state to fly general aviation airplanes into. And so I've got two more, Hawaii and, believe it or not, Idaho, which you'd think I'd have been to Idaho by now, right?
Well, they got potatoes.
And they got great backcountry flying, too.
Yeah, they got some really nice backcountry flying in Idaho.
Yeah. What about you, Keith? Do you have all 50 knocked off?
No.
Close?
No, especially not in general
track?
Aviation.
Have you kept track?
No, I really haven't.
You haven't bothered?
But, you know, with the airlines, it doesn't count.
Why wouldn't it count? Of course it didn't count.
No, because that's not real flying. Real flying is in a general aviation airplane.
Okay. That's how you look at it.
That's the way I look at it.
So it doesn't count less than GA.
Because if you're flying in the airlines, it's a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, like every city that you land in or a new state, you don't get one of them stickers and put it on your suitcase?
No. Never did that.
Well, you're just weird. Because I just thought everybody did that. Right, Dennis? You do that, don't you?
Well, he's in a general aviation airplane, so yeah, he could
exactly.
do that.
Exactly. I'm not... You know, when you have to do your own flight plan and your own weight and balance and pull your own airplane out, that's true flying. When somebody comes down to you with a printed off manifest and tells you where to go and what time you need to be there, it's not the same.
I would agree.
Well, yeah, I count it. I just, you know, check it off whether or not I'm in first class or economy. Okay, maybe that's just me. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
You're turning green and wishing the boat would stop a rocking. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share some tips on how to avoid seasickness next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Seasickness ruins diving trips, vacations, and travel for many. Everyone is susceptible, and there are hundreds of gadgets, procedures, medicines, herbs, foods touted as cures. The truth is, we really don't know how to prevent it. However, you can reduce the risk by being rested, nourished, and hydrated. If you're feeling apprehensive, avoid eating a couple hours before you embark. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
They always listen to the tower. They never question the authority of the tower. Well, the tower's telling us to hold. Well, so what about that? Just once, I want to hear, the tower's telling us to hold, but you might notice I'm rumbling along the grass. If you look out the right, you'll see all those aircraft lined up on the runway. The tower key sent us we're number 19 for takeoff. I say we're number one. What's the tower going to do? Hey, you! You can't exhibit that type of behavior! You're right, I shouldn't have done that. No, I should have listened better. If you need me, I'll be up in the clouds.
You must be a pilot to know that move.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith. Also, Dennis and his son, Austin. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes. Now, Dennis, I know you had a question for, you said during the commercial break, you have a question for Tom. You want to throw that out there or what? What is it?
So, well, I'm trying to find a way to inexpensively add 50 hours of tailwheel time. I'm trying to help my son get his pilot's license so I can keep going with the next generation of aviation. Well, my daughter doesn't want to be left out either,
right?
But she's only 13, so we're kind of like, how can she get flight time? Well, we found out you can get a glider, you can solo gliders at age 14. And there happens to be a very active flying club just south of Minneapolis. And so she dragged me down there last weekend, and we met with the people there, and they welcomed her with open arms and were so eager to get her to fly. Well, she's hooked. So now Dad is having to take her down every Sunday morning for flying lessons, and there's a Super Cub that's pulling gliders every morning, and it's just calling my name out. I just don't have enough time and tailwheel.
Huh. So First of all,
I think it's a perfect idea for her to get her glider rating.
Yep.
Because pilots that start out in gliders make much better pilots.
And that's what they're telling us, too. They said, you know, you're at a disadvantage to your daughter right now if you want to start flying gliders. Besides having to lose weight to fly in that glider, you don't know what to do with those things on the floor. The rudder pedals are highly important. And they were actually showing her and demonstrating that when you're making a turn in a glider, you start the turn by throwing the aileron into the turn, but by the time you get to the rollout point, you actually have to hold opposite aileron to stay in because there's so much drag out there. That inside wing is flying so much slower, the airplane wants to roll over to that wing. Hmm. And so you actually have to, it's counterintuitive. But for glider pilots, you know, they lead it with the rudder and they fly the stick, and they really have much better actual hand flying skills.
They do, and they're much more accurate on their landings as well.
Yeah, well, you only get one choice or one chance with a glider.
True.
That's right.
Yeah. You don't get go-arounds.
Nope. So, but when they come into motorized flying, they come in and they've got their landings nailed.
Hmm. Okay. But it the thing that, or the plane that tows the glider is a Cub. A tail dragger.
Piper Super Cub. Yep. Yeah. Tail dragger Super Cub with a winch. And they use that to pull the gliders up to 3,000 feet. And then, it's an aero tow, and then they cut them loose. And if they have no lift, the gliders can stay up about 20 minutes. But if there's any amount of thermal activity, well, as my daughter found out, you can easily get a 50-minute ride out of a single tow.
Mm. Wow. So,
what I recommend.
50 hours.
50 hours. I recommend that you trade your time towing gliders for your hours in the Super Cub.
Oh, I'd happily do that, except that their insurance won't let you start training in it unless you've got 50 hours. They can self-certify, but they need you to have 50 hours of tailwheel before they will train you.
Sounds like
No. What I'm saying is after tell them that you will fly. You will tow their gliders up for them after you get your certification, after you get your 50 hours. In the meantime, they pay for or give you a reduced rate on those 50 hours.
Well, who's they?
Yeah. That's the thing. Club. It's all part of the club. And the club will train, but you have to have a minimum number of hours before they can start to train you. So it's kind of that catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow I got to find external time. And the one place on the field there is $180 an hour, including instructor.
Austin, what would your dad tell you if you said, hey, I need to have some extra money to go fly? What would he tell you?
I don't know.
Get a job.
Yeah, probably.
Tell you to go get a job and start mowing lawns. There's your answer there.
Yeah, car wash.
Yep.
Good point. So, Austin, get to work.
Hey, clearly, Dennis, you need new friends, right? You need a new friend who has a tailwheel airplane that you can go borrow for 50 hours.
That's mm-hmm. right.
See? And then I'm just hoping that somebody, there's some gracious soul that listens to the radio program besides our mothers, and that might just happen to be that person.
Yeah. Well, they quit listening a long time ago. They were embarrassed.
Yeah.
That's all you can do unless you figure out some way to penetrate the space-time continuum. And shrink that 50 hours into like 2 minutes.
I got to start finding. Either that, or I got to start looking through Trade-A-Plane and start finding a very inexpensive tail dragger and a couple of partners and there go that go. Route, but that seems a little extreme.
Yeah. Well, how much do they charge per hour to learn how to fly on that plane?
$180 bucks an hour for tailwheel instruction, including the instructor. So, yeah, I started shopping a little bit, and there are airplanes out there, but I'm starting to wonder what you get for $11,000 in a Cessna 120.
Mm. No, I heard there are ways to get some, you know, P-51 time pretty cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
You just get one of those Parker P-51 pens, and you just start filling in the logbook.
Right.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for a certificate or a rating. Just put it on a spreadsheet and say, here's my time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, there's
Mr. Insurance Company.
Yeah, exactly. How would they know? They're not pilots, are they? The insurance.
I did all this yesterday. I got 50 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a busy day.
Who took you flying? Doc Brown, you know, from the Back to the Future movies. Knocked it out in 2 minutes. 50 hours, 2 minutes. Okay, well, we'll come back to reality and just finish out the show as normal. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.